Class made it Midwestern.
Amen. Do I need this or? Okay. I don't think I'll need it. I'm going to stay here one spot. Well, thanks, Brother Matthews. It's good to be here tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you will get a blessing from the message, or, you know, this is really a Bible lesson more than a message, I suppose. But it's been something I've been thinking about. I've read it and thought about it. So I wanted to bring it here tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, Second Peter chapter number one. Second Peter chapter number one. I hope that you're familiar with this portion of Scripture. And if not, we'll get a little bit more familiar with it here tonight, Lord willing. I do have quite a few verses to read tonight, and I hope it's not, there's nothing better than the Word of God, amen? And so I am going to, and that's what I think of when I'm putting down Scripture, and I'm thinking about a Bible study, and without Scripture, it wouldn't be a Bible study, would it? And so we're going to do that. I know preachers say this, if you'll listen quickly, maybe we'll get done early. And I don't know what to say. Lots of times it's not true. I mean, they say, if you listen quickly, and I mean, you know what? They always have an out. If they say, if you listen quickly, and I always listen quickly. I mean, there's nothing gets past me. I'll listen. And, but if they don't get out early and I go up and I say, hey, you didn't get out early. And what do they say? Well, you didn't listen fast enough. So I want you, if you listen quickly tonight, maybe we'll get done a little bit early. But we don't have to get done early. Amen. It is good to see they're getting the parking lot done out there. And that should be done by Sunday when we get back. And so that's going to be a blessing to get that done. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to read these 14 verses, and then we're going to talk about just one of these words that are in here, and this message that Peter, and like I said, I've been thinking about it, and looking at many different sources, and I want to just read here tonight, 2 Peter chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Let's pray one more time. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Bless these moments that we have together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. It's rich with many different things. But there is just one thing I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the virtue. He mentions down here, add to your faith virtue. And I want to take a look at three things, and then we're going to do a little acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? You take the word virtue. If you're taking notes, it's going to be V-I-R-T-U-E, and I'm going to put a virtue that's in there. Now, I know he says here a virtue. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be a partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so we all have faith. There's first three things I want to look at, and then we're going to take a look at some of these a list of virtues, if you will. And we're just going to talk about these for a little bit tonight. The Bible, first of all, I want you to notice that Peter is addressing Christians here. He's not talking to the lost. He's not talking to anybody who needs salvation. But he's talking to us as Christians. The Bible says in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it's good to know that the same faith that Peter has, we have. Amen? We have the same, after the thousands of years, over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has been here upon the earth, we have the same faith. He says here, a like precious faith. Amen. Peter is addressing Christians here. He talks about obtaining. This is a conscience acceptance. Now, I do say that this is not written to lost people, but lost people need to hear it also, that if you want to have this precious faith, there is something that you need to do. You don't have to work for it. We know the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He says you have obtained, in verse number 1, that to them that have obtained, like, it's a conscience acceptance. And I hope that every person here tonight has made a conscience acceptance, a time and a place where you accepted Jesus Christ. With me, it was August 26, 1980, where I consciously said, Lord, save me. And I hope that you have it. You don't have to know the date. You don't have to know the exact time. And many times you don't have to know the place. But I tell you what, you ought to know where you got saved, and you ought to be able to remember that. But many folks have been saved at very young age, and it's possible that you could not remember, but it is a conscious acceptance. He also talks about faith. Now, the word faith is the same word for trust in the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. Amen. And lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Faith is essential. It's a trusting. Amen. We need to trust the Lord. We need to give our hearts to Him. Then He talks about, and it says here, like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God. The avenue that we get our salvation from is Jesus Christ. It's through Him. It's not through anything that we do. So we understand that Peter is addressing Christians. And number 2, we'll know that Peter is addressing character. Look what it says in verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I like this word. If you look at it, it's just a little three-letter word, and we're going to talk about some three-letter words here tonight. But according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Wow, what a wonderful promise that God. We're talking about character here. We're not talking about our character. We're talking about character of God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He behold from them that walk uprightly. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The same God who gave Jesus Christ as our Savior said, "He will give us all things." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 to 23, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God." Another precious promise. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, "For godly exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Remember Dr. Cummins up at Maslin said that it does profit little, for bodily exercise does profit little. But I tell you what, folks, I have to stay out of the gym, because if I don't, I'll just go crazy. I'll tell you that right now. If you believe that, then I've got a bridge to sell you in Arizona. But he says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that is to come." God wants us to have the things, the blessings that he has. This is the character of God. Amen. God wants to give us all things. And Peter reminds us of that according as his divine power. He talks about this divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Folks, you need things in life. God is there to give it to you. So Peter is addressing Christians. He's addressing character. And thirdly, Peter is addressing change. In the last part of verse number 3, look what it says. It says here, let me find this spot. Let's just read the whole verse. "According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Those two words there, I want to talk about one of them tonight. He called us to glory and virtue. This is his purpose. It's to change us. When we get saved, folks, we are saved to become like our Lord and Savior. I know it doesn't seem possible sometimes, but God has given us his Spirit. If you take a look at Romans, I didn't write it down tonight, and I'm not going to turn there. But if you take a look at Romans chapter 6, it talks about we have power over sin. We don't have to sin. Amen. We have power. If we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we don't have to sin. But the sad truth is, many times we do sin. And that's why John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That again is written to Christians. Oh, I like the parts that are written to us. I like it when God directs us and tells us this is how you can live a victorious life. But this is his purpose. It is to change us. There are actions that we as Christians need to take. Look what it says in verse number 4. It says, "Whereby are given us his exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We need to partake in this that God has given us. And we need to do it today. We need to do it from the time we've been saved until the time that we go home to be with the Lord. Whether we go in the second coming when the Lord comes, or if we pass on and we meet our Lord after we're dead, we need to be working constantly. Because he uses another three-letter word here. It's add. Add. Doesn't say multiply. Amen? He says add. He says in verse number 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Now he goes on, he mentions patience and temperance and brotherly kindness and charity and godliness. These things are all mentioned here. We're not going to talk about those today, but those are things that we need to add. And if we do that, he says, oh, you are going to have a most wonderful life. You are going to have all that you need. But he that lacketh these things, he says, is blind. He says, wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. That's what we need today. So here we have this one word I want to look at is virtue. Well, what is virtue? It's moral excellence. It's goodness. It's moral strength. It's power. That's what virtue is. And God wants us to have it. Matter of fact, Peter mentions it twice. He mentions it up in verse number 3. He's called us to glory and virtue. And then he mentions virtue again down here in verse number 5. He says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is used some 7 times. It's used 7 times in the New Testament, 3 times here. And 2 of those times is just when he's adding it up. He says, add to your virtue, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And those are 2 times there. And then up here in verse number 3, he mentions it also. But virtue is a very important aspect of a Christian life. Virtue is something that we need to expand on, if you will. It is not an action in itself, but it's a state of being. It's what we are. If you're saved today, you have virtue. You have the power of God. You have the goodness of God that abides within you. It's also used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And I want to go there. If you want to turn there, you can. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, it's used again for a 4th time in the New Testament. Philippians, there we go. Chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we know that virtue is goodness, amen? That's what we're supposed to think on. We're supposed to be thinking on good things, not murder and mayhem and deceit and adultery and carnality and all those other things that the world is throwing at us all the time, and that Satan is putting forth to us, and that our flesh desires, it seems. We fight with it all the time. I know I do. But virtue is good. We need to think on good things. We need to watch good things. But he says here that if there be any virtue, if there any praise. And you see there's a kind of commonality in the 2 Peter, because he talks about glory and virtue. So they seem to go hand in hand. Virtue and praise and glory and virtue go hand in hand. God wants us to have praise of Him. God wants us to glory. He talks about this glory that He called us to glory. And what is glory? Well, it's praise. It's goodness. I think of a verse, and I'm going to look at it later on. But in 2 Peter, this virtue is also used in other portions of Scripture. We're not going to look at those right yet, but he says to add. And here's where I'm going to kind of get into some verses. The thought that I had in this is, how do we live our life? God, as Christians here tonight, and I believe all here are professing Christians, and that is good. And like I've said many times before, I don't know for sure who's saved and who's not saved. I just know that by what you say, was it That famous politician said that the only thing I know is what I read in the newspapers. And all I know is what somebody tells me, amen? I was preaching one time out in Utah, and I was talking about the United States of being Christian. One of the preachers said, "Brother, this is not a Christian nation." And right in the middle of my message, I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do here?" But all I know is what the surveys say, folks. All I know is that still 80% of the people in the United States claim to be Christian. Amen. And that's all we can go on. But this Christian life that we live is a difficult life in that we have to constantly be at war with the world, with Satan, and with our flesh. And Paul even talks about this adding, and we're going to talk about that, this adding has to do with other portions of Scripture. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn there, please do so. And we will get through this as quickly as we can. And I just want to make these points tonight. And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you, because this is how we're to live our life. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. Make sure I have the right portion of Scripture here. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off." And we're going to look at that in other portions of Scripture. It's like having a coat and putting it off. It's an action. It's what we do. Amen. We put it off. I'm going to set this coat right here. I know some of you get cold, and if you need a coat, it's right there. But I am not cold. He says, put off. That's an action you have to do. Amen? "Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on," all right? Now I could walk over and put that coat back on. And I'm not going to do that, but I could. But it's another action. Amen? Put off. Put on. And he talks about all these things, this put off deceitful lust and be renewed in the spirit, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, there's putting off. Stop lying. And every man truth with his neighbor, that's putting on something. "For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands in the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Put off, put on. All those things are listed there. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6 now. I hope you're familiar with these portions of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got a lot of turmoil going on in our country today. And there are folks that, boy, we need to do something. But we don't fight against flesh and blood as Christians. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I can't go to Seattle and drive those people off the Capitol Hill. I can't go to Washington, D.C. and drive those people out of the street and away from looting and violence. I can't go to Chicago and Detroit and New York City and any other place that's having a difficult time. Now they're trying to take over parts of Atlanta. Folks, it grieves my heart to see this going on. But I tell you what, the battle that we have is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. And we need to be on our knees. We need to be praying for our country. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are leaders that are cheering what's going on. And there are leaders that are sitting and doing nothing for what's going on. That's wickedness. That's in high places, and we need to be praying for that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These are all things that we need to put on. These are life-changing attitudes that we need to have. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, and we want to look at verse number 1 again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Folks, we battle that all the time. As Christians, we're battling setting our affection on the things that are here, not the things in heaven. We make plans. Oh, I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna acquire this. I'm gonna acquire that. I've got this want. I've got this desire. When we ought to be desiring what God would have us to do. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You know what that word mortify means? It means to put to death. We get the word mortician, mortify, mortician. It's someone who deals with dead people. But mortify therefore your members, kill. There's another action which are upon the earth for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye are also put off. There it is again, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against him, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, well, no, I'm not going down there. But we have, and I'm definitely not going to go part of the husbands. Definitely not going to do that. That's not the message tonight. Folks, you see the battle we have? You see what we have to put off and we have to put on? And going back to 1 Peter again, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, to think on these things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue and praise, glory and virtue, add all of these. Now, I just want to do a little acrostic. Did I tell you that before? I think I told you I want to do a little acrostic. V-I-R-T-U-E. These are some virtues. I find these virtues in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. You know, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to pull all my letters out of this proverb. It's a wonderful proverb, and it needs to be read once a month. I know a lot of you read it. And this month, you'll get to the 30th, and you'll say, well, I don't have to read 31. I'll go ahead and read that anyways. 31 is a good chapter. And starting verse number 10, he names here, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I've read a lot of verses already. There's a point I want to make, and I've got to finish up here. There's some 14 virtues that are here that this woman does. And virtues are, in studying this, I found there's well over 40 virtues that are listed all different places. You could name some of those that we read as virtues. Kindness, and some of this in here, temperance, and brotherly kindness and charity. Those are all good virtues. But first of all, V is for valor. Valor. We need to be brave, folks, especially during these times. Proverbs 31 and verse number 21. I want to look at that. And I did not turn there when I should have, but let's get there. Proverbs chapter 31. And look at verse number 21. The Bible says, she stretcheth out her hand. Well, that's not it. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. It's just one of the virtues. A brave. If you read the account of this woman, she's brave. Amen. She's virtuous. That's what it says here. Three times virtuous is used. It's used in Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 11, where Naomi is talking about Ruth, saying, everyone knows that you're a virtuous woman. And then here, it mentions it, that it's a virtuous woman who can find it. But she is not afraid. And folks, we need to be brave during times of trouble and in our life. We need to be brave in many things. Integrity would be the I, integrity, Proverbs 31 and 25. That's truthfulness. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This word honor, it's the same word that we get honesty from. To be honest, that's integrity. She has integrity in her life. Everything she does it up front and with honesty. R for respect, Proverbs 31 and verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She respects her. Her heart, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why does he trust in her? Because she's respectful of him. True, not truthfulness. We talked about honesty, but the letter T is to be true, to be loyal. Look what it says in verse number 12. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Constantly there, constantly loyal, constantly serving. Folks, we need that in our life. And then you for utterance. Look at Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She openeth her mouth, utterance, talking, speaking. I know when when Pastor Leakley said, "We are not going to shake hands anymore," there was probably 20 people in here saying, "Woohoo! Good! I'm glad we don't have to walk around and shake hands." But there was... Was there? I imagine there were. They said, introverts rejoice, you know. Don't have to walk around and shake hands. But then there are those, probably another 25 of those, 25 people said, "Aw." Why? Because they like to talk. They like to say. And folks, there are those, we should always speak. We always ought to have something to say. Amen. We ought to be able to speak. What it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We need to have wisdom in our words. We need to be speaking. Then E for empathy. Now I know empathy is not compassion, but I believe empathy leads to compassion. When we can feel what other people feel, when we can look at somebody, understand what they're going through, that we can have compassion. Look what it says in Proverbs 31, verse number 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So, that's the acrostic I wanted to do tonight. And we could have maybe picked other words, but it just went along here. Folks, do you see the work that we have? Do you see how we need to live our life daily? And many of these go hand in hand. Many of them. And I'm not going to take the time to look at them, but you can look at here's some things that I wrote down about this chapter. Worketh willingly, bringeth her food, riseth early and giveth meat, buys a field after considering it, plants a vineyard, and she's strong, the Bible says. She stays up late to work. She cares for the poor and the needy. She's not afraid of the snow. She clothes her family. She has strength and honor and rejoicing. She speaks kindly. She's industrious. She's not idle. And she fears the Lord. Those are all virtuous aspects of our life, and I think that's virtues that we need to have in our life. So why do we add virtue? Why do we add goodness? When Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Well, there's a couple more verses I want to look at. And maybe you've thought of them because you know the Bible and you said, hey, what about this portion of Scripture? Well, I haven't forgot it. Go to Luke chapter 6, if you will, and verse number 19. And these final verses are both going to be in Luke here. Luke chapter 6, and the Bible says in verse number 19, if you remember the stories here. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. I got the wrong verse. Can you believe it? 19, keep reading, I guess. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Now that's the virtue of Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's the excellence that's in our Lord. And what happened? People were healed. Go, if you will, to chapter 8 of Luke, chapter 8, and look at verse number 46, 8:46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. This is where he healed the woman with the issue of blood. And this is why I believe we need to add virtue and virtues and to live our life as honorably and as sinless as we can. Because when they touched Jesus, virtue went out of him and healed them. And when folks look at us, if they see our virtues, let's pray that our testimony would be that there goes a Christian, there's someone I can trust, there's someone who I can talk to. Listen, we need to have these virtues so we can lead people to the Lord. We need to have these virtues so we can talk to our relatives, we can talk to our neighbors, we can talk to our friends, we can talk to those that we meet, and we can reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is why Peter says, add to your faith virtue. And then they list many of those virtues. Have you considered how you live your life? Have you considered what you do in your life? Have you considered just keeping... I know it's a battle. I know it's a battle that we fight this old flesh that we have. And we need to do it every day. And we need to add all these. Like I said, there are so many. If we'll keep our eyes in this book and keep reading this book and keep reading the things that God tells us to and work on those things. And when something comes up and we get angry or something happens, we say, Lord, forgive me. And you go on and you try to serve Him and you try to add these virtues and have virtue in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a hymn here, and we're going to dismiss. And if you have a need tonight, you're welcome to come forward here, and maybe God has touched your heart. I hope it's been a blessing tonight. I hope you've gotten something for your soul. If not, go home and read some of those portions of Scripture. I'll tell you what will bless you. Read 2 Peter chapter 1 and read it over and over again. And it won't be long and you'll be rejoicing in what God has given to us. And we have virtue in our life. Once you're saved, He said, add to your faith virtue and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us, guide and direct us this time. If there's one here not saved, we pray that you'd save them, Lord. If there's one here who has a burden, Lord, and needs that lifted, Lord, they can always come and present it to you. Lay it here on the altar, Lord, and have forgiveness of sins and have a comfort in their heart. And I pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Guide and direct us now this night, I pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What